and just introduce ourselves, and if you remember who the appointing authority is. Tim, we'll start with you.
Tim Stout, I'm from Monomedi.
Okay.
Sonia Hohenottle, I'm from Moorhead, and Speaker of the House, Margaret Anderson Kelleher, okay, appointed me.
Tim Hipsch from Maple Grove, and Margaret Anderson Kelleher, Speaker of the House.
Kent Eklund, who will be explained in just a minute.
Nancy Black, I'm from the Twin Cities. I'm chairing the Social Science Department at Metro and will be the next president of the interfaculty organization, the union that represents the seven state faculty members. And I was appointed at least 8 years ago. This is my second term.
Me? Dave Larkin, Bemidji, appointed by Speaker of the House, Margaret Anderson Kelleher.
Marilyn Cathcart, Minneapolis, appointed by Senator Pogamiller.
And I'm Billy Young of St. Paul, and I was appointed, I think, so long ago that both parties to the transaction have forgotten about it.
Right, yes, right. The two on the phone, would you mind introducing yourself?
I'm Janet Lexon from Lakeville and was appointed by Vicki Heller.
Okay, good.
I'm State Representative Bob Dettler, District 52A, and I'm also the Vice Chair of the Higher Education Committee.
Great, welcome. My name is Kent Eklund, and I was a past chair for at least a couple of rounds, if not maybe three cycles of appointments. I did not stand for reappointment, letting somebody else have the opportunity to do so. And so I'm here today just to convene the meeting, to quickly comment on a couple of the functions, and then move to item number four, the election of a council chair. And then we'll go from there, and I'll disappear. I have a meeting at the University of Minnesota at 2. So let me say that the Trustees Candidate Advisory serves at the beck and call of the governor, who's the appointing authority, and the legislature, who does the endorsement of the appointments. We have at least three functions that we perform. Number one, we help in the recruitment of candidates, which will be somewhat truncated this year since they're due June 4th. The second thing is we review the criteria and the attributes we're looking for. And third, we interview candidates with the intention of submitting 2 to 4 names per opening to the governor for his appointment. And last cycle, we violated our rule in one case where we only elected or nominated one for one of the seats, but it was one of the seats where we only had 2 applicants. Mm-hmm. And the felt was only one was worthy of being forwarded to the governor's desk. You'll have a chance to decide how you want to work this truncated process. We're technically beyond our legal authority because all of our work was supposed to be done by April 15th. And Sally can probably explain that later in terms of how we get into this later cycle. And the very important thing will be for you to decide how to play your functional roles over the next really month. Because by June 15th, the governor would like to have the work of the TCAC done. So that'll be a fast charge. So, with your permission, the convener is open to nominees for the board chair for this cycle.
I nominate Nancy Black, please.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Mm-hmm. Are there other nominees?
Question, will we have comment or discussion on it before it goes to vote, or what's the protocol on that?
I'll ask one more time for one other nominees, and then we'll close the nomination so we can have a discussion. We can always move to reopen. Are there other nominees? Okay, we have a single candidate. Discussion. Tim?
I think Nancy would do a great job in the role. My only question is there a real or perceived conflict of interest serving as president of the IFO, since the Minsky board and the IFO will be negotiating the contracts? And I just want to make sure we're all aware of that, and if that's a concern for the appointment.
Sure. I welcome a discussion. We don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. I think that given the composition of the meeting, there is no conflict. I don't assume office until July 1st. Our recommendations will be done well before that, and the appointees are supposed to be made July 1st, so we'll be appointed at the same time. I think, too, when we look at the cross-section, I've served as vice chair and been a participant when I was president of the IFO previously. I was vice chair, didn't seem to be any conflict. And when I look and I see we have, luckily, the vice chair of higher ed here, who's informed, I think that I bring the experience of having attended 4 years of board meetings to this body, and I think I have a very good idea now, because I've interviewed trustees this time, of what the responsibilities of the board are. But if anybody is uncomfortable, I will gladly withdraw my name.
Any response? Are you ready to vote?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor of Nancy Black as chair for this cycle, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Two ayes. Nancy Black is the nominated chair and the elected chair. And at this moment, I move to the University of Minnesota for a meeting.
Okay.
And you're on your own. Congratulations.
First thing we want to do is thank you for all of your service.
Yes.
Nancy.
You're welcome.
You're
you
here.
Really did a fine job.
Yes.
I hope I could do it well. And we have heard, we have had another member join, so before officially convening the meeting, perhaps you'd like to introduce yourself to everybody.
Hi, my name is King Banyan. I'm state representative from House District 15B. I'm also a professor of economics at St. Cloud State University, so pleased to be here, a chance to serve in one capacity, but to bring experience from another.
Good, welcome. You have received a packet. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Okay. You've received a packet of information, and as Kent explained, we are in a very abbreviated cycle this time. For a number of reasons, the committee, the council did not convene according to the statute, and we were supposed to have recommendations to the governor by April 15th. This is our first meeting of the year and the cycle. So, having said that, we need to review and approve minutes from the previous meetings. Mm. And if you look in your packet, you will see that there are minutes from, as I'm looking in my packet.
April and September.
Oh, thanks. Okay. April 7th and 8th of 2010. Has anybody got any corrections or additions?
Who wasn't there?
Okay. Hearing none, would somebody like to approve the minutes?
I'll make a recommendation to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Thanks, Tim. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Then we have approved the minutes. Nobody has asked any questions. As I'm looking, I want to call our attention to the discussion that was held about reference check reports. And we may... not if nobody raised any. We may want to revisit that as we discuss the abbreviated process that we have. Now, I think everybody has in their packet the statutory language with the purpose and duties of this advisory council, and I'm emphasizing the word advisory because that's all we do. The governor, of course, has the prerogative of appointing whomever he may choose. We do also have selection criteria for the Board of Trustees and a listing of the responsibilities of trustees. I don't think there is too much question. We have reviewed these in the past in subcommittees, and we have recommendations for desirable characteristics of the trustees. I'm just going to briefly, it's right in your packet, but personal characteristics, integrity, accountability, informed judgment, mature confidence, high standards, common good. And then there's the core competencies, which might be more important, accounting and finance background, judgment, management, crisis response. We hope we don't need that. Leadership, strategy and vision, bargaining contract. Now, one of the things, our purpose, one of our purposes is to recruit candidates. And as we do that, we need to be informed about the commitment that they need to make. And this is also on that sheet. They need to be willing to commit the time and energy necessary to satisfy the requirements of the board. And they can be rather extensive. So they are currently meeting nine times a year. There are two-day meetings, one day of committees. In fact, they're meeting in committee today, and the board will be meeting tomorrow. So that would be 18 days right there. A willingness to rigorously prepare prior to each meeting and participate, and to make themselves available to management upon request to provide advice and counsel. In addition, trustees are expected to attend some student campus and community events like commencement. We are considering these trustees to be ambassadors for MNSCU, as well as legislative hearings, and do so cheerfully. I don't know who wrote these, but always a good thing. In particular, an awareness and ongoing education about critical issues. There have been a lot of them lately, particularly around technology and student-based concerns such as financial aid and student debt. And the candidate must understand a trustee's role and responsibilities, including the general legal principles that guide board members. They do have to have no conflict of interest and be able to discuss that. We also have some characteristics that that would need to be filled. Now, we know that our charge is to recommend between 8 and 16 candidates for the governor to consider. There are four openings. I believe it's District 2 and 6, as well as two as at-large seats. So, as Kent said, once the last round, we only recommended one person because it's hard to get the districts. So, in particular, if you can pay attention to Districts 2 and 6, that would be very helpful so that there is a full complement of candidates. Okay, current and expected experience gaps. Human resources, you can read this, finance, communication and public affairs, and diversity. And the diversity reads experience to enhance perspective and judgment through diversity in gender, age, ethnic background, geographic origin, and professional experience. We have had a policy. Trustees who wish to continue on the board need to reapply. And this time we have four trustees We've been informed that two of them, Trustee Van Houten and Trustee Thiss, will not be reapplying. I am not aware of the preference for Trustee McElroy or Trustee Christine Rice. So it would be helpful if we knew, but we will just inform them should they like to continue. They will need to reapply as people have done in the past. We usually give them a courtesy interview. They have served 6 long years in the service of the state. So does anybody have any questions about the selection criteria or the responsibilities? Before we move on, my thought is that Tim has spoken with some of the trustees. I've spoken with some of them, and we were going to give you the opinion of the trustees of what they're looking for, and there is a consensus. Yes?
Yes. I remember last year I was working on the criteria that we have now, so maybe we could still look at it. And also, as far as communicating this to a larger audience of people about our openings, I think that that would apply to our initiative for diversity, mm-hmm. which is sorely needed on our board right now. And so those are my comments for that.
Thank you very much for reminding us of some of the work that we've started. In terms of the criteria, I think that right now we are on such an abbreviated schedule, and we're going to try and get timelines, that sounds like a good task for a subcommittee at some point. And in terms of the communicating, certainly when we discuss recruiting today, we need to take that into account. So thank you. One of the other things we need to do is to elect a vice chair. So I'm calling for nominations for a vice chair. Are there any nominations?
I would put my name in.
I was going to nominate Tim.
Okay,
say
Tim?
I'd like to run.
Okay. Thank you, Carolyn. Would anybody else like to volunteer? Okay. Would you like to just say a little bit about yourselves for the other members of the committee? Okay. Carolyn?
I'm an Associate Dean for Multicultural Affairs and STEM Initiatives, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, and that is a very important initiative for our state as far as job for the future workforce for Minnesota. As you know, we have an aging population, which Tom Gillespie has so eloquently shown in his before he retired this past year, our changing demographics in this state. But most importantly, as an educator, I've been involved in a lot of our community and work with the Red Cross, with a lot of other outreach programs that are for educating. And I see this as a very important initiative for us to select this year, with a lot of controversy that has happened at my university. How the decision making is very important with the Board of Trustees. We've had, you've probably been reading a lot about the aviation program and some other things that have been happening on our campus, and also about the board members having the presidents making more salary than others. There's been a lot of paperwork going news in the news. But as an administrator and as a former dean of a college, I know that I would be able to serve well in this capacity. And recently I was appointed to the U.S. Science Advisory Board, which is a real honor because most of the people are Nobel Peace Prize people.
Well, thank you. Okay, Tim?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Tim Hipsch. I work for General Mills in their digital marketing area. I've had a lot of involvement with the MinSKU system, both from as I was a student at Minnesota State Mankato, serving on the MinSKU technology roundtable. And then most recently, the last 8 years, on the alumni board and now on the foundation board, also involved with the University of Minnesota and the Citizens League as we look at kind of higher education going forward. Have a real passion for higher education. Enjoy the thought of getting out and talking more with the potential candidates for the Board of Trustees. Had a chance to really reach out to some of the trustees in preparation for today's meeting just to understand a little bit more what is it that they're looking for and where do they see perceived gaps within the current board experience that can help really make it so that Minsky can continue to move forward.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we're ready to vote. Okay. Well, Carolyn, you spoke first, so I'm going to ask, do we feel comfortable doing, since there's two candidates, would you rather have a paper ballot or two vice chairs?
That would be good.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the more the merrier. I think we need...
support.
Yes. Good. Is everybody in agreement, even on the phone, about two vice chairs?
That's fine.
That would work.
Yeah.
That would work.
Okay.
There's a little diversity here, too, so that's good.
Yeah, I think that's by acclaim. So thank you very much. I think that's terrific. Okay.
Madam Chair, so it's Tim Stout and Carolyn Williams in?
No, it is
Tim. The other Tim.
Hipsch.
Tim. Cubish.
Okay.
You pronounce it for us.
Hipsch.
Hipsch.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm sorry. Okay, I thought it was by acclaim, but Sally is requesting that we have a vote. So all in favor of the two vice chairs as named, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstains? No. Okay, thank you, and congratulations. Okay, I think I'd like Tim to give us some information about what he has found out about the gaps on the board. So,
thank you, Madam Chair. So in addition to the documents in the packet, that's the desirable characteristics of a trustee that came from the board leadership, also had a chance to reach out and talk with five of our current trustees and got a lot of great information. The highlights that really go across all of their comments, first and foremost, think of this as a policy-focused board versus operational. Really that focus on governance and accountability, really empowering management and then holding them accountable for the outcomes and running the day-to-day activities of Minsky. Also, really looking for this, the Minsky board to really help look at the big picture and focus on what is changing in higher education, how do we make sure we stay out in front of that, and really focusing on the policy side of it. Above all, they all talked about the need to have someone that has a passion for higher education. That is essential for it. Also, the idea of a statewide perspective. So someone who is not looking at just a single focus area or a single geographic location or a specific institution, but someone who really can go across the complexity that's made up of a 31 institution organization that is both universities and community and technical colleges. The time commitment is large. In our documents and in the conversation with them, they all agreed and plan on 40 hours a month is what it takes, both for the meetings, for the prep going into those meetings, which is extensive, and then the ceremonial duties that come along with the role, be it for graduation commencements, student activities, and just being out on the different campuses. And the final one is really around partnership building, looking to create those relationships with business, with other higher education institutions. And when you look at higher ed institutions, that's public, private, and for-profit institutions. So in just one side note that I also wanted to bring up, as we look at facts and figures for the Minsky system, a couple key things to note. It's 31 institutions on 54 campuses in 47 communities. They serve nearly 430,000 students each year in credit and non-credit courses, producing 34,000 graduates. They serve more students of color than any other higher education provider in Minnesota, more than 47,000, employ more than 19,300 full-time and part-time faculty and staff, and have an annual budget of $2 billion. So it is a very complex organization for MinSCU. So those were the kind of key highlights that came out of the conversation with a variety of the trustees, and I just thought it would be good to pass those that information along just so we have it as we're thinking about who to reach out to for candidates.
Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Tim. Yes.
I think that's very good. But we also, in the past, we've also had the chancellor come in and mm-hmm. give us his perspective on what he wanted for a board. Will we be doing that again?
We could try and request it. However, our timeline precludes that. And we can talk about that when we look at the schedule, because the governor's office has requested that we forward to them by June 15th our recommendations. The close of the application deadline is June 4th. We can meet as soon after that as possible. We were discussing that the 6th or the 7th of June. We need a quorum. And then the following week, we will have to bring in the candidates for interviews. And then there is the issue of reference checks and mm-hmm. discussion. So, having said that, we've got a lot on our plate. I can tell you that MinSCU is positioned very well with this new with our new chancellor. We were fortunate to have Jim McCormick for many years. Stephen Rosenstone is his polar opposite, as everybody would agree. Mm-hmm. And at the last board meeting, one of the trustees said, Jim McCormick is on this side, and he said, the board is my boss. I take my marching orders from them. And Stephen Rosenstone on the other side, the board reports. He says, if I need you, I'll call you. So there is a big change and a different emphasis. And in addition, Board Policy 1A2 of the Board of Trustees may be amended, and that board policy has to do with the officers of the board and their meeting schedule. And in fact, as we're holding this meeting, they're having their meeting about recommendations, and the board will vote on it tomorrow. So there may be some changes. As Tim and Kent and Sally and I discussed this, if anything, the direction they seem to be going at the last meeting was that there would be fewer meetings, but they weren't sure about the structure. We could request that Chancellor Rosenstone send out a statement on his preference, and we could get that out to all of the members, and that at least would give us some indication of what he's thinking about. In talking to some of the trustees, they were saying it's helpful if somebody has some recent higher ed experience. Certainly this council has their share. But the education system is changing and transforming so quickly these days with technology that it is really important that trustees have somewhat of an idea of the trends and what's happening. We also mentioned the for-profits. I know Chancellor Rosenstone is quite concerned about the invasion of the for-profits into the state. So there is a lot going on with educational policy. And I know also that he has gone ahead with something that is quite effective in terms of buying power, and that is he has started cooperatives where we are leveraging buying supplies, and that gives us efficiencies of scale, and we are able to save money. And we're quite quite hopeful that that will continue. I'm sorry, Tim?
Madam Chair, talking with the board office, I do have a time set up with Chancellor Rosenstone early next week to talk, so I can bring any comments from the board back to him, and if he has any specific guidance, share that back out. I know he was somewhat involved in the document that you have in front of you on the characteristics, so mm-hmm. that did come directly from Minsky and the Minsky board. So he has had some input on that, but if there's anything else that comes out of our conversation, I will be glad to pass that along.
Okay.
I think that's a good suggestion that you've made, that you should circulate, ask him, and then circulate it to the members of this council.
Okay.
We need to have some of that input.
Is everybody in agreement with getting that? And I think we should receive it electronically.
That would be fine.
Sure, Tim. Yeah, if you would talk to him. And when are you going to see him? Next week?
I believe it's Monday or Tuesday next week.
Okay, great. And if you could get something to Sally to send out, that would really, I think, be helpful to the committee. Okay, now, I want to go back. Is there any more discussion on the update on the current needs of the board? The TCAC had slightly revised their own statement of characteristics recently, last time we met, I think, the last round, to include diversity on the board because it is sorely lacking in diversity and not representative of the populations in the state now. In all ways, gender, age, just as we read, ethnicity, people of color, underrepresented. So I urge you to recruit anyone you can who can make this commitment, because it is quite a commitment. As we look at the current needs of the board, I think we've covered it, but is there any other comment from anybody?
Madam Chair, this is Representative Bob Detmer.
Yes.
Will there be a information going out to attract candidates? Is it going out in the news media, or how is that brought out to the attention of people that may be interested?
I'm going to ask Sally because it's already been announced. So,
well, the governor's office announced that they were seeking candidates, but then the TCAC will send out a press release as well, stating that they're seeking candidates for the four seats. So that'll probably get out soon, today or tomorrow.
Okay.
And we need to send it to publications that deal with ethnicity. We have a lot of them. So we need to do that.
We have a vast meeting.
Sonia?
Madam Chair, is the list all the largest publications statewide to include so that we can recruit from the at-large also? Okay.
Okay. If you would like to know if you'd like to review the publication list, Sally, you could just send that out by me. By email? Is it too extensive? I mean, it's huge. Well, the reason I'm saying that is that there are so many new electronic methods of communication as well as publications and new organizations as well. And somebody on this council might know a source that we haven't thought of already because we hit the standard one. So how many are we talking about? You've got to panic look on your face.
I'd have to go back and check.
Okay, great. So that would be great if you could send that out, and people please give Sally feedback if there's any other source you're aware of.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Janet?
Janet Lexon. Do we, or has it been a past practice at all,
to go back and take a look or encourage previous candidates that we did not recommend or to contact them. I know in the last process, you know, there were some lot of candidates that, you know, were high caliber candidates, mm-hmm. but, you know, just didn't necessarily get, you know, make the recommendation. So is that something we do or take a look at? Or
Well, people have applied multiple times who have not been selected. If the council wishes, we did interview at least 16 people the last time. And if the council wants, we could contact those who were interviewed and just send them a press release to see if they still have an interest.
That might not be a bad idea. I don't know how the rest of the council feels, but, you know, if it becomes a little difficult in the recruiting process, that might be an avenue we want to use.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Okay, there's comments around the table. Marilyn?
I agree. It's a good idea. We had some really strong candidates that we recommended mm-hmm. and that weren't appointed, and I think we should try to encourage people to reapply.
Okay.
My exact sentiments. They were recommended. They just did not get appointed, and I think we could easily revisit those if they'd like to try again.
Okay. Tim?
The other comment that I had as I was talking to some of the trustees is they expressed an interest or asked the question, can they suggest the nominees also to apply for? And I think that would be a great way to reach out because they know what it takes to be a trustee. If they have candidates that they think would be good for the board, encourage them to reach out to those candidates and have them apply the same way everyone else applies so there wouldn't be anything different there. But reach out to them and see if they can help us in some of the recruitment efforts. Does anyone have any concerns with that?
Okay, what
I have a concern
okay.
because last time when we were sitting at looking at applicants, we found a husband and wife on the deal, and that was a surprise to all of us. So,
but we didn't interview that
no, we
person.
Didn't, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, there were some conflicts that the board. The council considered conflicts. Well, what I'm hearing is those individuals who were selected at the last round and who interviewed should be. Do you have that list, Sally? Okay, Sally has the list. Mm-hmm. So she could just not send to all the applicants, but those that passed the scrutiny of this council the last mm-hmm. time. Would people be in agreement with that?
Would be in agreement with that.
Okay. Billy?
I would say just send the press release. If it appears that there's recruitment, then there's the suspicion of preferential treatment of some sort. Just send the press release to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sally? Yes, Sonia?
The list is on the meeting minutes of April 7th and April 8th. I think we have everybody that we interviewed and who we sent on to the governor. Mm-hmm. And so all their names are on the meeting minutes of the ones that we did interview. Too. So those are the ones that would be sent the press release.
Yeah, I'm sure Sally can take care of it. There was, okay, and I think I also heard that inquiring of the current trustees could, Sally, do you think it's appropriate that we send the press release? I know they've seen the governors because they told me, mm-hmm. but it might not be a bad idea to send the press release and say we encourage you to please suggest mm-hmm. to appropriate candidates that they apply. Would you be able to do that? Okay. Thank you. So, I mean, we're trying to cast the net as far as we can so we get the best candidates for these positions. Okay. Well, does anybody have other recruitment ideas aside from going out and talking to people at the appropriate organizations, people who have perhaps you're on boards and can go to those boards and suggest they look into this?
Hey, I got a question.
Sure.
Sally, I just wanted to know, do you reach out when we actually send these communities of media as well.
I'm sorry you cut out. Can you get closer to the mic or to the phone and say that again? Uh-oh.
Is it better?
Yeah, you know what, Nimco, I think I know what you're asking, and the answer would be yes. But
I don't know what she's asking.
You'd be asking for $1 million, and you just told her yes. But you were asking if we reach out to the minority and different publications and organizations. Is that what you're looking for? Yes.
Okay, lovely.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet.
Is there any more discussion about recruitment? Okay, the next item is item 6, and that's discuss, adopt TCAC schedule and timeline. This is usually more complicated than in the past. One of the things that we were discussing is that perhaps we should, when we're sending out these recruitment, put down that interviews will be held the week of June 11th through 15th, just in case anybody's planning on being out of town. We have interviewed people by telephone. Mm-hmm. It's a little more difficult, but it certainly does work. And we are very glad that we have a system now where people can phone in TCAC members, because for many of you, it's a long trip in. So we're trying to facilitate these meetings, and we're trying to have as much participation as possible. As we look at what we need to do when we meet, and everybody's going to people are going to have to discuss if they're available this body, June 6th, 7th, 8th. You have a calendar in your packet. And what we do at that time, Sally will be posting to a website, and we will have passwords, okay? And she will be posting the applications so you can review them online as they go along. So instead of having 68 applications at once, you can just log on, and as we're getting them, you can review them. And then when we come together, we have a discussion. Sally, are you sending out any kind of rating sheets? No. Okay. Okay, then we just discuss. And usually, as I remember, and Billy, you might remind...
Well, yeah, it really speeds things up, and it's helpful if when we read them online, then we make our own rating. These are pass, these are fail, these are maybes. And bring that so that we can, if everyone has done that ahead of time, it goes pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how many applicants did we have the last time? Not that many.
Not many.
18. So given this, I mean, 18 applications, the applications are rather extensive, having looked at them last night again. But it wouldn't take us long to look at. I would be very surprised if we got more than 25. Mm-hmm. I would be very surprised.
Yeah,
but
if even that many.
Yeah.
I hope we do.
Kind of short notice.
Yeah. And then we decide, we put them in piles of the districts, hoping to fill all the districts, and the at-large. People can apply for the district and at-large, so they can have two shots at it. And then we decide who we would like to bring in to interview. And then we do the interviews that week of June 11th through, I think it's the 15th, because we have to have our recommendations to the governor by the 15th. Okay. What am I forgetting?
I'm wondering if we can lock down actual dates, because that might be easier. Yeah. So if we said like the 12th and 13th, which is that Tuesday and Wednesday, that way we can get it locked in, or whatever dates work for people. But I think if we can give them a date as opposed to the week, might be a little bit easier, and also easier for us to schedule.
Yeah, I think that's my question is, how many people will be available here, the council, either by phone or in person? We need a quorum June 12th and 13th.
Can I Sure.
Can I ask for 13th and 14th?
That's real close.
Yeah. Otherwise, and that's fine. 12th, 13th would be fine, but I know that 12th I have my own higher ed board meeting for Tri-College, and I can't attend on the 12th.
Okay. Can everybody make the 13th?
Most of us don't have... excuse me, I didn't...
Yeah.
Can we do this by email? Because I, for example, I did not bring my calendar with me, and
okay.
I can't commit without that.
Yeah.
Big trouble.
Well, we...
Okay, propose the dates, and we can email into Sally this evening.
Okay, what we're proposing is... Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Representative Banyan?
Thank you, Ms. Black, Madam Chair. We have... I am actually in summer teaching. So if the meeting times are between noon and 3, that is my break during the day. Otherwise, I'm tied up all morning and from 3 to 5:30. And that would be for Monday through Thursday of that week.
Okay.
The 11th through the 14th. So it will be the same for me regardless of which time you choose or which day you choose.
Madam Chair, Janet Lexon again. Last time, didn't we get through the interviews in one day?
Yes. One and a half?
Yeah, it was one and a half.
One and a half.
Yeah, because then we need a little time for discussion after that. But that's right. A good thought. Okay, how would you like to proceed? Sally, what do you think would work?
I guess I could email out possible dates and get back to me by tonight. But if you want to have something nailed down...
I think we do need something nailed down.
If the 12th is an issue, a known issue, what about the 11th? And that would give us then the 13th and the 14th if we needed some extra time.
Don't wait for me because the 11th I'm driving back from Texas. So specifically for the board meeting. So you don't have to wait for me, but I will be here at least one day then.
I've just been informed that we can do the 15th and send an electronic memo to the governor.
Mm-hmm. Or walk it over.
We want everybody to participate. So what we're looking at is a day and a half. And if we started at noon on Thursday, you could at least be there. They usually take about 40 minutes.
Yes.
Per interview?
30 minutes.
That really an hour because you have a break and
mm-hmm.
introductions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
An hour.
And figure an hour. And how many do we... We're going to interview anywhere from 8 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's squeezing it.
But we can do it.
Any ideas? Yes?
I guess I would suggest maybe we have set aside two full days, and then if we don't need it, we cut early. But otherwise, it might be hard to cram in if we happen to get 18 really good candidates we want to talk
yeah.
to.
2 days.
I think that's what we did last time.
We did.
Yeah.
That we actually scheduled the 2 days.
If you do the 13th
finish up
and
earlier,
14th.
Possibly.
And if you need to...
Madam Chair...
I'm sorry. Just a second. Yes, Marilyn?
I was suggesting doing the 13th and the 14th full days.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we needed time, we had a million great candidates, we could go into the 15th in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me ask about how we've handled in the past council members... voting privileges. So if you weren't there for the interview on the first round, you can't participate?
All of the interviews are recorded,
mm-hmm.
so you just have to hear it to vote for it. So
mm-hmm.
at the end of
okay.
the interview, it'll be posted
mm-hmm.
online. So
okay.
you have to listen.
Good. So if we do the 13th and 14th, you'll get to hear some, and you can listen to the recordings. And then the 15th, if necessary, we probably won't need the 15th. Okay, now what time should we start? We usually start at 8 a.m.
I would recommend starting there and holding the last half of the Thursday, the 14th,
yeah.
As the last slot we fill. That way we can use that for committee discussion and maybe even come up with the final recommendation coming out of that.
Okay. Now we have to be sure that we have a quorum. So I'm hearing, I know that there's an issue with Representative Banyan. What about Representative Dittmers? Are you available?
I'm available a full day on the 13th, and on the 14th I'll be available at noon.
Okay. Nokia?
NIMCO.
Yep, I'll be fine as well. Hello?
Okay. Okay, so you're available.
Yep.
Thank you. Janet?
Yes, yes. I'm pretty pretty available during the week, that full week.
Okay. So I think we've decided on the 13th and 14th of June, and we will start at 8 a.m. on the 13th and probably the 14th. So this is subject to change, of course, depending on the availability of the candidates.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
My recommendation would be as we put out the press release on it, to include those dates in there just so the candidates can have that in their mind as they're planning also.
Great suggestion.
Yep, good idea.
What was the suggestion? I'm sorry.
Yes, that when we send out the press release, we say that the interviews will be held in St. Paul on the 13th and 14th of June.
I think that would be good.
And are we doing 8 to noon on both days?
Yes. They should be full days.
Well, did she ask?
8 to noon, right?
No, 8 to 4 or 5 in the afternoon, not to noon. It's full days, not half days.
Oh, okay. So
full
Thank
days.
You.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, Sonia. Yeah, they usually take, as Billy said with introductions, it usually takes about an hour. And if it takes less, then we have time to discuss what was said and clarify anything among the group.
And then time to vote. And the voting procedure.
And the voting. Okay. Are there other items that you'd like to discuss?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
For the week before, the time for us to get together to figure out who we're going to ask for those interviews.
Oh, right.
Is that a meeting we want to do in person, or I would think we would want to do it in person.
Yeah, it's essential.
With deadline on the 4th, I would recommend either the 6th, 7th, or 8th.
Right. Those are the days that I had proposed, the 6th, 7th, or 8th. When does summer school start for you? Ooh, all right.
And we may be available by phone for that, because I'll be in.
Yeah, no. First summer session starts Monday.
Okay, yes, you can be available by phone. Mm-hmm. This is such a short schedule that we need to provide that service.
Exactly.
Just set your time.
Yep.
I'll show up when I can.
Good. Okay.
What's the date?
Wednesday the 6th, Thursday the 7th, or Friday the 8th.
Okay, can I?
Can we choose one?
Yes, choose. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking around. Yeah,
I can't choose. Like, you know, I'll email you tonight.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, if we do this by phone, would they be able to ask the people questions?
I'm talking about when we go through the applications.
Okay.
I think it would be disadvantageous if you were on the phone, but it's better than nothing when we do the actual interviews. This is for the application review, the first set of meetings. So are we saying Thursday the 7th?
That would be
Madam Chair?
Yes?
I don't think Thursday the 7th would work for me, possibly by phone. Friday the 8th, I'm completely open.
So,
but if you've got a quorum, I could certainly participate by phone on the 7th.
One thing to think about.
Thanks, Janet.
One thing to think about is the applications will be finalized. The group will be finalized on Monday on the 4th.
Right.
So we want to give everyone a chance to read through the applicants so that they're versed on it as they come in to talk about it. So. Mm-hmm. Do people feel like they have enough time between the 4th and the 7th, or do we want to give everyone a little bit more time and do it on the 8th?
Yeah.
Or the 9th?
The 9th is a Saturday.
8th, Friday the 8th.
Which is fine with me, but people are out of town at the cabins. Okay. I'm hearing the 8th. Let me know your preference. How many prefer?
8th, yes.
8th? Good, the 8th. Okay. 8th. I'm hearing the 8th, and Billy will let us know.
Yeah. And Madam Chair, may I just make the suggestion? It's worked for me in the past when the applications that I think are potential candidates, I print those off on my printer and bring them, and it's very helpful so we can discuss their points. It doesn't, those that you're going to reject, save the paper, but.
Now, you might, you know, take notes on them, why you don't think they would be or why they would be. But certainly, for clarification, and sometimes one person reads the application one way and somebody else reads it differently, and there needs to be a discussion about the intent of the writer.
Can we, I think last year we did 3 hours for that meeting. Is that seem fair? And maybe suggest Friday afternoon starting at noon, that way we can get... Or you would rather do Friday morning?
Personally, I'd rather do Friday morning.
Friday morning.
I think Friday. The reason I'm thinking Friday morning is we are on such a tight schedule that if something happens, I don't want us not to be meeting, because immediately Sally is going to have to contact those people to come in, 5 days later. Right. So I would feel more comfortable.
I would, too.
Earlier. Okay.
8 a.m.?
8 a.m.? 9 a.m.? People are looking. What? Some of you are coming from some distances.
I won't.
No, you won't be? Okay.
I would like 9 a.m.
Yeah,
9
is kinder for us.
Okay. 9 is kinder?
Yeah.
Fine.
Are we talking about the 8th?
No. So that's Friday, June 8th at 9 a.m. To review applications. Yes, Sonia.
Since it is going to be a three-hour call, and I am calling long distance, is there a conference number that is given out, an 800 conference number or something? Okay.
Okay, so if anybody needs phone instructions, please contact Sally. Okay. Well, we did a lot of business. Are there any other items or any questions that anybody has?
I want to ask you a question. Once we get our applicants and review the applications, I do think that we need to have a list of questions to ask them, and that each one of us could talk or discuss or have with them in front of us.
I think we did.
I think that would be, I've done this with a number of searches, King knows. And I think that that's better, and then it flows better, and we've asked all the questions of all applicants, the same questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've done that in the past, and I don't see the questions in the packet, but I have it in my packet from last time. Okay. And we can review it when we meet to see if there are different questions. Yeah. Oh, good.
We do have we had a list of questions from last time, and then we even made up some during our meeting when we reviewed them, what we were going to ask, some that weren't on here. So I know we had a list of, for sure, 8 questions.
Mm-hmm. And so I think open-ended. We need to review that.
Review it at the next meeting.
Exactly.
Yes. Thank you.
And then each other.
Madam Chair, President Dittmer, where will these meetings be held, on the 8th and then on the 13th and 14th location?
It will be here in room 5 in St. Paul.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for reminding us about reviewing the questions for the interviews. Is there any other business?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe there was not a motion to accept the September 20th meeting minutes.
Okay.
So I'd like to make a motion to go ahead and accept the September 20th.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor of accepting the September 20th minutes, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Minutes pass. Anything else? Oh, I want to remind you about the reimbursement. Sally, is that what you were going to do?
That is. You are eligible for expense reimbursement. Your per diem forms are included in your folder. And there's also your folder some private and public contact information sheets. If you could all just review those and make sure I have the most up-to-date information.
The public contact sheet is not like posted on our website, but if we're asked for it, we have to give that information. So if you want to give me like a work number or work address, we have on there. And then the pink sheet is just for you guys to use with each other for contact information. Contact each other.
I have
property. Yeah.
Yes, Sonia.
Another question is when I know Tim will be talking with the chancellor. For those of us who are not real familiar with the chancellor, would it be possible to get somewhat of a bio background kind of thing? Because I think that's very important that we also know where he comes from, his bio, besides what his rathers are, to know a little bit more about him also. Because that's part of the thing, I think, in marketing the position and look who you'll be working with or for with the higher Minsky higher board. And I think that's important because I think candidates would want to know who the new chancellor is. McCormick was well known, and not knowing who the chancellor is, I think, may provide for a hesitancy.
Well, I think if you just Google Stephen Rosenstone, because he's been at the University of Minnesota. He's from the University of Minnesota.
Okay.
Oh, he was there, I think, 20 years.
Time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think he's a known quantity in the state, but that's a good point that you can go, I'm sure, to the Minsky website.
Right. Okay.
And they would have information because they have,
and that information. Thank you.
That would be good.
Just Google his name.
Ellie?
Yes.
Janet Lexman here. Now, for those of us that are on the phone, are you going to send us a per diem thing? How do you handle that?
The per diem, I think, is just for travel expense.
Just to attend the meeting.
Okay, that's fine. Yep, no, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. All good questions for the first time meeting? Yes, Sonia.
I noticed there's quite a few people aren't here, and I do know two of the folders and talking to people. I know have bowed out of the council. There's not time to find new people for the council. When will we be refilling the seats for this council that are vacated?
That's not our job.
That's a question for the legislature. Yes, Sally?
No.
The legislator didn't do their job.
Okay, that's what I was just asking. Yeah. So they would have to do it next year for the next time. Okay.
Probably, but let's see if we can find out. It's my understanding that the Senate did not make appointments. Is that correct?
They have not made their appointments yet.
Okay. Right. We can hope. Okay. So how many, I'd like for the record, Sally, how many do we have appointed of the 24 that we're supposed to have?
Currently, membership is at 17.
Okay. So there are 7 unfilled positions on this council. So, if you want more information, contact Sally. Saint Sally. Okay. It's 2:05. I think we've done our business. And
I have a quick question, everybody. What do we decide on the 8th from 9 to what?
Till we're done.
Till we're done, we're thinking about noonish.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Sounds great. All right.
Okay. Any other questions? Would somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor of adjourning the meeting?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you, everybody. See you on the 8th.